Well, this is a really long sermon. I mean it. It's a big old fat sermon. For another time. For another time. The passage in the gospel is Matthew 25. If you want to turn there, you can. The beginning of this gospel passage talks about a surprise. A surprise coming of the bridegroom. Chapter 24, the context, the disciples are coming out of the temple. They're noticing how beautiful and majestic it is. They're remarking about that to Jesus. And Jesus tells them a prophetic historical fact. I tell you, a day is coming when one stone will not be left upon another. In 70 AD, that historical fact came to be. This passage that we're addressing in Matthew 25 is about a historical fact that has yet to be, that will certainly come. And think about how passionate Jesus must have been in these last days. He's in Jerusalem. He's walking these last days out with his family. He's looking at them and understanding how little they understand, how little they get what's happening. And you can see as he goes about his teaching that the deeper things of his heart come to the surface, because as time grows short, the more important things become more clear. And so he spends basically two chapters, 24 and 25, talking about the last things. And they were the last things for them in the sense of the fate of Jerusalem and the Jewish nation as they knew it. But they're also last things for us. And this parable of the 10 virgins tells us Christians. Christians, be watchful. It's very easy, I think, for us to go about our lives once we become believers. We have baptism. We have a lot of the things that go on in our lives. It's very easy for us to get comfortable. It's very easy for us to get lax. It's very easy for us to forget that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and all the forces of spiritual darkness. That the world, the flesh, and the devil are always after us. And in these last days, as he tarries, in this passage, our Savior is giving us a very stern warning. A very stern warning. Be prepared. That preparation involves, like we've experienced today, a deeper and deeper, more and more abandoned relationship with Christ Himself. A deeper and deeper, more and more abandoned relationship with our Abba. A deeper and deeper, more profound relationship with the wind of the compassionate companion, Holy Spirit. This is not a time for us to relax. This is not a time for us to stand on things past. This word says, be prepared. And it's a dangerous word. Because the history is going to be when the door of opportunity for response is closed. that day is certain. It is fixed in time. It may be this very day. This is a word, a stern word. Are you ready? Are you prepared to receive the bridegroom when he comes, if he comes today? Have you been spending your time getting to know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Have you been more and more abandoned to that relationship with the Trinity that is your sustenance? Are you practicing the spiritual disciplines? Are you waiting with anticipation instead of comfortably, casually going about your day? This is one of those places where the Scripture says, come aside, be mindful, be warned. The day is coming when the door will be closed. The second thing I want to talk about, this is not a word just for us. It is, in fact, like I've spoken for us, but it's a word of evangelism. If we believe that the door is closed and that there are those who will be lost, do you feel a burning in your heart to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ with those who are lost? Are you caught in your own world? Maybe a good world, a spiritually disciplined world, but your mouth and your life is closed to the gospel-giving aspect of the Christian life. If the door is going to be closed and we have the gospel message, are we giving it? Are we giving it passionately? Are we giving it faithfully? Are we giving it continuously? And I'm not talking about the gift of evangelism. That's different. I'm talking about every single believer living and speaking the words of life. Are you taking care of your own life? And are you taking care of the lives of others, especially the lost? I really believe the little ones, in many ways, are the lost. I believe in many ways the little ones are the lost. The least of these, I believe, are the lost. Let me read from Revelation 19 and I'll close, but I want you to hear the admonishment from Jesus himself. Be watchful, be mindful. Do not be relaxed. Do not rest on your past. Be ready, be prepared. The spiritual disciplines of getting to know who he is are so critical. And the little ones need to hear the words of life. But let me read to you some glorious words about our future. And I'll preach this sermon another time, maybe. Look around you. I want you to touch somebody near you and say, these words are for you. I want you to touch somebody around you and say, these words are for you. Wake up. These words are for you. Listen. These words are certain and true. These words are a historical fact. I saw heaven standing open. And there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on His head are many crowns. He has a name written on Him that no one knows but He Himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and His name is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven were following Him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of His mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On His robe and on His thigh, He has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just as surely as you saw the eyes of the person next to you, just as surely as you heard the words coming from you and to you, this will be what you experience, whether you are there on one of those horses or whether you are here watching it happen. And that day cannot be turned back by anything but the mercy of God. The appointed time has been set. We have a destiny, kingdom people, living a relationship with Jesus and giving the gospel and waiting, anticipating with great joy our day to go to be with Him. Our day to go to the stable where our horse is presently, or that day when He will come riding into this world, as these words declare, it is faithful and it is true. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your wondrous destiny that you have set for us, for the encouragement that it is. And Lord, I pray that we would all sink down into the purpose of deliberately, intentionally living the Christian life with spiritual disciplines, that we would be awake and watchful, and that we would not shrink away from giving the gospel to the least of these, the little ones. And Lord, we rejoice that that great day is fixed, but we also dread the terrible day of your wrath as it comes upon those who are lost. Fill our hearts with that for others. Make our lives count, Lord, as Walter's days are just beginning. May that prophetic word be for all of us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Peace of the Lord be always with you.